And a great big welcome back to my house. We've got the doors wide open at Rosie on the House. Here this morning, having a conversation with Mr. Bob Brown from Arizona Foundation Solutions. I invited Bob in primarily because after we had the earthquake show, I called him and I said, are you seeing any reports? Fortunately, where most of this quaking is happening is fairly rural, and there aren't a lot of building or structure consequences happening. But then we got in the conversation of just foundation failure in general and what you're seeing across the state. And I think one of the problems about foundation solutions is it's almost like, I don't know, it's even maybe worse than termites, is you've got it. Oh, no, I must do something now. And anything is better than nothing. And a lot of the homeowners with a foundation problem are just jumping at the first solution they find. And I'd like you to talk through your 10-questionnaire pamphlet that you publish.
Right. So a homeowner really should be asking some questions. They need to vet the guy who's doing an inspection and ask him some important questions, because homeowners, by and large, are just not equipped to deal with these guys. They're salesmen. They're very good talkers. They're very confident. And they can basically pull the wool over people's eyes with just the way that they present themselves.
So what are the questions you should ask before you make an appointment, or once someone's out there, what should you be asking? I mean, it's kind of like going to the doctor and they just recommend the solution to you and you have to take their word for it, you know?
Right.
Or go get a second opinion.
Right. And it would be even worse if you went to the doctor and found out he wasn't really an MD, he was a pharmaceutical rep, right?
Yeah, that would be bad.
So that kind of leads into my first question, you know, are you doing the analysis, and are you being paid a commission to do my analysis? That would be the first thing I would ask, because there's a little bit of a conflict of interest. If somebody's analyzing it and coming up with solutions and they're being paid a commission basis for those solutions, there might be a little bit of conflict of interest there, and a homeowner might want to know that.
All right. And the foundation repair industry, has it come up with some kind of standards or guidelines or certification criteria?
I'm actually writing the guidelines for the National Foundation Repair Association right now. They asked me to be on the committee to start writing that. So maybe the industry will get proactive and start developing this. But as of this point, they have not, as an industry, dealt with this at all.
But prior to doing anything, are you under the conviction that you start everything with a floor elevation survey? I mean, that's really the basis of virtually every recommendation that you make.
Right. Well, first of all, if it's a movement problem, if we have movement going up and down, we have cracks in walls and all the things you described earlier, then yeah, a floor survey is one of the critical elements, and that's. There's an A, B, and C investigative process, and we can talk about what process is followed, but that's a process that's part of the B process, the level B, that the Foundation Performance Association recommends to be followed.
And do y'all require a building permit be pulled for any of this stuff?
Right now, the consensus in the industry is that you should pull permits when you're doing underpinning.
Okay.
And so, yes, a permit should be pulled, which means that you need to have calcs and you need to have an engineer sign off on it. Now, I don't know that the industry is typically doing that. We have decided that we're going to follow that procedure.
All right. And what kind of set of plans do y'all generate for that?
Well, there's basically a floor plan of the house with the damages justifying the opinion of what's going on along with the damage. And then there's a repair recommendations. There's details that show what the fix is and what the capacities are, and then you have to show calculations, and then you have to basically, there's a whole list of things that you have to do in order to pull a permit for the city.
Well, I bet you've seen some pretty interesting projects across the state. I can think of a couple that I've been involved in, but what are some of the more interesting projects you've seen?
Well, I mean, just in general, by the way, I mean, we worked out at the largest solar facility in the United States, the Solana Solar Project. We actually worked at the historic Prescott Courthouse. That was an interesting case.
What were y'all doing up there? That building's been there a long time.
Historic National Registry, built, 100 years ago. What happened is the building itself was fine, But back in the old Whiskey Row fire that happened there many, many years ago, they basically left all the debris from the fire there. So when they built, they rebuilt the four steps that go out from each of the sides of the building, they built it on top of the debris from this Whiskey Row fire. And so over the years, it started to deteriorate and have leave all kinds of voids. And so all four of those big portico steps, huge granite things.
They are huge.
Yeah, with historic granite steps that could not be removed. You know, that was part of, and it all had to be done at night. They told us they would hold us in contempt of court if we interrupted the courtroom. So we were careful not to do that. But we basically had to lift all four of those steps up using helical piles, push piles, and pressure grouting. And that was a really big challenge because the grout had all kinds of weird places it would go and find voids. And we were pumping and pumping and pumping, and nothing was happening. We were filling up all these voids. We had no idea what kind of void it was filling up. We just had to work with that, with the engineers very, very, very closely in order to get those things lifted back up and stabilized.
The staircase is falling away from the building,
right.
So that last step into the building, you were seeing a crack open up there as the bottom step was sinking into the ground.
Correct.
It was rotating on itself.
It was rotating away from the building. That's correct.
Okay, so you get in there and you find the voids and you underpin the sagging part of it. How do you anchor it back to the building?
Well, we didn't anchor it back to the building, actually,
okay.
Because we basically lifted it back up from the bottom side and closed that gap back up. And basically, we don't need to worry about anchoring it.
And I can remember a house you brought us out to, I believe it was down in Ahwatukee. The big house
on the top of
the ridge.
Krebs residence.
That was literally sliding off the lot.
Right. So that house was built in the old Caterpillar Proving Grounds. And so the interesting...
I don't think a lot of people know that Ahwatukee was a giant Caterpillar equipment testing grounds. As a college student in the School of Engineering at ASU in the 70s, we actually had several field trips out there where they showed us and demonstrated us and actually let some of us drive some of
right.
that equipment. I mean, they were tearing the whole south side of South Mountain to pieces.
Right.
And moving it and
right.
changing it.
Right. And so, you know, you're moving big old rocks and boulders around and creating
bigger
all kinds
of
boulders.
Bigger than this room.
Oh, yeah.
Boulders bigger than some of the trucks that we were driving.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah.
And when you do that much disturbance, you're, you know, plus you don't know the history. Somebody else could have moved a bunch of dirt on top, filled in a hole. You just have no idea what happened with the history there. So now when the home builders come in and try to build on top of it, they're going to treat the upper surface, but they don't really know for sure what's going on below. Most home builders don't test for soil below 5 and 6 feet.
And as I remember, this particular house was kind of up on a ridge.
Right.
It had a beautiful commanding view of the valley below it and stuff. But it was like two layers of cake, and the top layer of soil that the house was built in, the whole lot was sliding over the solid layer that was just below it.
Yeah, there was spooky. There was a lot of voids that we just didn't know. I mean, we pumped a lot of grout into that place. That was a $300,000 repair. There was just tremendous amounts of damage everywhere.
Sounds expensive, but how expensive would it be to see that house at the bottom of the hill all
yeah.
crumpled up?
Well, the house was a huge house and worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to see it land on somebody else's house down below, that would have been a bigger problem.
You know, I can't remember the book, but it was an Arizona geological book that I was reading not too long ago where it actually shows that the entire town of Eloy has sunk like 19 feet since the 50s.
Right, right. That's part of this kind of this fissure thing we were talking about earlier, groundwater subsidence. That water deep down below, 200-300 feet down, is being withdrawn. And so the whole valley, the whole area, and I think it's one of the largest in the world right there in Eloy, where that has gone down tremendously. And when you go through like Picacho Peak, you can see some of the ridges and some of the fissure faults.
Yeah, if you know what you're looking at. And aerially, looking at an aerial photograph, it really stands out.
Right, you can see it aerially. That's exactly right.
Wasn't it, Romy, when was the first crawfish festival?
Oh, well, 2002, maybe?
It was the year that the gas pipeline broke
at
Picacho, and that was due to a fissure
right.
geologic situation, wasn't it?
Yeah, it'll cause those problems, because what happens, that fissure goes way down, and then what happens is water starts to get into that and cause problems. And then when the water gets in, it drains all the way down and gets bigger and wider, and then that's what causes problems for any pipes over it.
And Governor Napolitano said, don't drive this weekend. And we had already called the Crawfish Festival on for Woods Canyon Lake. And I don't know, we had, what, 700 people showing
up? A lot.
But it was ironic because they were doing highway repairs on the highway down there because of it. And you've had to deal with a lot of subsidence down there on buildings in Sulphur Springs Valley as well, as I remember. Wasn't there a Safeway in Benson or Wilcox?
Yeah. Well, that soil there is really, really bad. I mean, down to 100 feet, really bad. Very poorly compacted. I don't want to get technical, but we call it blow counts, and we're talking 4 and 5 blow count material down to 100 feet, which is like soft like a marshmallow.
And what was the situation down there? Was it a Safeway?
Yeah, Safeway, Ace Hardware, right.
Shopping center.
Yep. It was a major project, and we actually had to come in and take over for another contractor, and there was square bar piles that weren't really performing, and we had to come in with round bar piles. And
I mean, when you've got soil that's junk 100 feet deep,
right?
What do you do?
Well, you go down 100 feet.
You do.
Exactly. We went 120 feet in that place.
120 feet until you find some kind of torque resistance or something significant.
Yeah, you basically have to find some really hard soil somewhere, or rock or bedrock or something good that you can rely on to hold up.
We've experienced some foundation failure on some structures up in the Nutrioso area.
Right.
What do you call that soil? You had a name for it.
It's Chinle clays, basically.
That's like talcum powder.
Yeah, the Chinle formation, they call it. And, very expansive montmorillonite, all those kinds of clays, big volume changes with water, a lot of movement going on. You just got to be really, really careful about how you look at the problems and how you solve the problems.
You can't even dig a ditch in that soil because it constantly just self collapses on itself. I mean, as you excavate a ditch for whatever you're putting in, conduit or whatever it is, you literally can only go 10 or 12 feet at a time. Get some 2x12s or some plywood, stand it up on the side so you can create the ditch long enough so you can do what you need to do, and you don't even have to hardly backfill it. It just collapses in on itself.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Just junk soil. Here with Bob Brown of Arizona Foundation Solutions at Rosie on the House. We'll be right back. Y'all stay tuned.